We'd like to study a word tonight together in God's Word. Let me introduce this. In the Word of God, especially the Old Testament, God's people are told to cleave to the Lord their God, to cling to the Lord. And we'd like to think about that tonight. God tells His people again and again to cleave to Himself. What does that really mean? And in Genesis chapter 2, we have the very first place where this word is used. It's not used of the believer and his God, but it's used of the husband and his wife. So look with me in chapter 2, verse 24. You remember the woman was created from the man. And verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave, there's that word, shall be joined, shall cling to his wife, shall be glued unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, united together. And you'll notice in this verse there are two things that are very important when it comes to the marriage relationship. There is a leaving and there is a cleaving. There must be a leaving. He must leave his father and mother, and there must be a cleaving to his wife. There must be a new family unit established. Now, if you were to ask me years ago, George, who is your immediate family? This is before I got married and so forth. I would have to say my mother and dad and my three sisters. That was my immediate family. But once I married my wife, I have a new immediate family. I still love my former family. They're still my mom and dad and sisters. But my new immediate family is now my wife and myself, and then in time, the Lord added two boys. So we need to remember, there must be leaving. Many marriages have encountered very serious problems because of the failure on the part of the wife or the husband or both to properly, biblically leave father and mother. So there must be a leaving and there must be a cleaving. What's the meaning of this word? It means to cling, to cleave, to keep close, to adhere firmly, to be glued, to be stuck together. It means to be attached to someone with loving devotion, to be joined to a person, to follow a person closely, to get close to someone and to stay close to someone. To cling to a person in affection and loyalty, to keep close. How is this word used elsewhere? Let me give you some examples, and because of our lack of time, we're not going to turn to these passages. We're going to be turning to a number of passages later. But I'd like to just go through some of the usages of this word to give you an idea. It's used of diseases. For example, God promised to curse His people if they were to disobey Him in Deuteronomy 28. And He said, the diseases of Egypt will cling to you. And pestilence will cling to you. These diseases will attach themselves to you. Now that's a horrible thought. I want diseases to be repelled from me. I don't want them to cling to me and cleave to me and attach themselves to me. One of our young ladies went back to school after chicken pox, and all of a sudden she discovered that some more came out, so she had to be sent home. A disease that just clings to you. It's hard to shake it sometimes. It's also used of Ruth in the book of Ruth, who clung to Naomi. She clung to her and returned with her to the land of Palestine, to the town of Bethlehem. It's used of a person's tongue, cleaving to the roof of the mouth. And when the Bible speaks about that, it's used in two different ways. Sometimes when the tongue cleaves to the roof of the mouth, it's talking about intense thirst. A person is intensely thirsty. And sometimes, as the Bible speaks of a person's tongue cleaving, clinging to the roof of the mouth, it means that that person kept silent. That person didn't say anything. In the book of Job, it talks about someone's tongue cleaving to the roof of his mouth, and the meaning is he kept silent. He didn't say anything. His tongue didn't start. You know, when we talk, our tongue moves about. It's not stuck somewhere. It's mobile, and therefore we talk. It's also used of the scales of a huge sea reptile called Leviathan in the book of Job, chapter 41. And it's talking about his scales that are joined together and stuck together so very tightly. It says this, "One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They stick together so that they cannot be separated." You've seen the scales on certain animals that are just so tightly joined together. It's used of bones adhering to the skin clinging to the bone. Here's an interesting usage. It's used of one of David's mighty men. Remember David's band of men and heroes? And this particular man used his sword to slay a large number of Philistines. And he hung on to that sword so tightly and fought for so long, holding on with a tight grip, that the scripture says that his hand stuck to the sword. And that's something you can try as an experiment. Someone showed me this once. That if you hang on to something very tightly, squeeze something very tightly for a long period of time, for several minutes, then finally when you decide not to squeeze, it's real hard to open your fist. And the Bible says that his hand stuck to his sword. This word is also used of leprosy. You remember the wicked servant Gehazi in the days of Naaman the leper. God healed Naaman, and then God's judgment upon this wicked servant was this. He said, "The leprosy of Naaman will cling to you." And he died a leper. The leprosy will stick to you like glue. It's also used of the wings of the cherub in the great temple of Solomon. These cherubs that were on the mercy seat above the ark, they were made out of gold in the temple. And it says that the wing of one cherub joined the wing of the other. They were joined together. They touched. They stuck together, as it were. This word is also used of a friend. Book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 24 says, "There, it says, if you want to make friends, show yourself friendly." And then it says, "There is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother." It's used of sins. Turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter 3. 2 Kings. Chapter 3. And verse 3. It's talking about Jehoram. This was the son of Ahab, the king of Israel. Now, we know what his father was like. King Ahab was as wicked could be with his wife Jezebel. Now his son was not as bad as his father. Look at verse 2. He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father. and not like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal. So he wasn't as bad as his parents. But, verse 3, nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Jeroboam was the first king of Israel, a wicked king, and all the kings that followed him imitated his wickedness. And Jehoram was no exception to that. He clung to the sins of Jeroboam. He couldn't shake those sins of his fathers. Turn with me to Psalm 119, please. This word is also used concerning God's word and the believer. The relationship between God's word and the believer. Psalm 119, starting in verse 25. My soul clingeth to the dust. There's the word, clingeth, cleaveth. Revive me according to thy word. Now here we have the psalmist. He's spiritually down. He's in the dust. He needs revival. We get that way sometimes when we're spiritually down and we cry out, Lord, revive me. Well, how is God going to get me up if my soul is clinging to the dust? Well, the answer is in verse 31. He says, I have clung unto thy testimonies, O Lord. I am clinging to your word. That's the answer. That's how we get back up. I am clinging to your word. I am glued to the Bible. What is the relationship of the believer to God's word? God's word and I are stuck together. We're glued together. Me and my Bible. That's a nice verse. I have clung. The normal King James there says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Now, look in Jeremiah, please, chapter 13. This word is used of a belt. Jeremiah chapter 13. Now, you know, when you put a belt around yourself, there's not too much that's closer than a belt. That belt adheres to you. That belt is close to you. It's attached to you in a very close way. And that's the idea here. Chapter 13, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord unto Jeremiah, go and purchase a linen girdle or belt. Put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. So I bought a belt according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. It was just clinging to him there. Verse 4, take the belt, the Lord says, that thou hast bought, which is upon thy loins, and arise and go to the Euphrates and hide it there in a cleft of the rock. So he did what he was told. Verse 6, and it came to pass after many days, the Lord said unto me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take the belt from there, which I commanded thee to hide there. And then I went to the Euphrates and digged and took the belt from the place where I had hidden it. And behold, the belt was marred. It was corrupted. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now's the application. What's the lesson? How does this apply to Israel and their God? Verse 9, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the imagination of their heart, and who walk after other gods. Now what was their problem? They refused to cling and cleave unto the Lord their God. To serve them and to worship them shall even be like this belt, which is good for nothing. What good is a belt that doesn't cleave to you? What good is a people that doesn't cleave to their God? Verse 11, for as the belt clingeth, there's our word, to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cling unto me the whole house of Israel. That was God's purpose, to have a special called out people that would cling and cleave unto himself, to be close to him, and thus to be a testimony to the whole world, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But they would not hear. They would not hear, they would not obey, they would not cling to the Lord. Now, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 10. So we've gotten a little feel for this word, how it's used. Now we want to look at this word in those places where it talks about God's people and their relationship to their God and their need to cling to him. Chapter 10, verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. Cleave to your God. Be glued to him. Be attached to your God. And the idea is attachment. The idea is to be close, to get close to God, and to stay close to God. To be attached to him with loving devotion. Thou shalt, to him thou shalt cleave. Go to chapter 11, the next chapter, and verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all of these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, to be attached unto him in loving devotion. Now notice the first part of the verse. Notice the emphasis upon obedience, to diligently keep his commandments, to do them. Obedience is stressed. You cannot stick close to God and at the same time disobey his word. It's impossible. The two do not go together. The person who is adhering and attaching themselves to God is the person who is obeying God's word. Disobedience and attachment to God are two opposites. They just don't go together. The disobedient believer is far from God. They're not close at all. Chapter 13. Chapter 13 gives us the test of a false prophet. And the beginning of the chapter says that if a prophet gives a prediction and it comes true, that does not necessarily mean that that person is a true prophet. If it doesn't come true, you know he's not a true prophet. But if it does come true, he may or may not be a true prophet. But verse 2, if he then says to you, let us go after other gods, then he's a false prophet. Don't hearken unto him, verse 3. God is testing you to see if you'll follow him. God allows things to come to pass sometimes. So don't be fooled, don't be tricked just because something comes to pass. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, ye shall serve him, and cleave to him. Adhere firmly to him. Get close to him and stay close to him, and be attached to him with loving devotion. Look with me in chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Well, how do we show our love for God? We obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, cling to him. Now, hold your finger right there. We're going to come right back. But it talks in this verse about loving God and then cleaving to him. In light of that, look in Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34, where our same word is used, speaking of a love relationship. Not a very good love relationship, but it was a love relationship. Genesis 34, verse 1, talks about Dinah, who was the daughter of Leah, one of the daughters of Jacob. And verse 2 talks about Shechem. And in verse 3 it says, his soul, the soul of Shechem, clung unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel. So here we have this word used of a love relationship. Here's a man whose soul clung unto Dinah in what turned out to be a very wicked and sinful love relationship. But apply that to the believer and his God. The Lord is to be the object of our soul's affection. And we must cling to the lover of our soul, to cleave unto the Lord our God, to be attached to him with fervent devotion and fervent love, as shown by our obedience to his word. Now, is your finger still there in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy? Chapter 30 and verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God and obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. Why? For he is your life. God said to the Israelites, I am your life. Now, do you see why you need to cleave to him? He is my life. I've got to be attached to the God who is my life. Jesus said, I am the vine. He's our life source. I've got to be attached to him. I've got to be abiding in Christ who is my life. He is my life. How can I stay far from him? I've got to be close. I've got to cling. I've got to cleave. I've got to stick right there and abide in him. Joshua chapter 22. The next book, right after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 22. Joshua 22 and verse 5. Now, the context here. Joshua is speaking to the 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And if you remember, these were the tribes that were sort of on the outskirts. They were the furthest away from the center of all the tribes of Israel. So Joshua was concerned about them. If any of the tribes needed to cleave to the Lord, they did, because they were the furthest away, as it were. So look what he says in verse 5 to these 2.5 tribes. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, cling to him, be attached to him, be united to him, to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. the next chapter, chapter 23, and verse 7. These are Joshua's last words, the final words of Joshua, his warning to the people. Verse 7, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you. Now they drove out many of these heathen nations from the land, but not all. There were still many remaining in the land. So Joshua warns them. He says, don't make mention of the name of their gods. Don't even mention them on your lips. Nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them. Don't bow down to them. Verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God. Cling to him. You can't cling to idols and cling to God at the same time. You must separate from the idolatry, and then only can you cleave and be attached to God. You can't be attached to both. You can't hang on to the idol in one hand and hang on to God. You need both hands to hang on to God with all your might. And idolatry and clinging to God do not mix. It doesn't work. The book of 1 John, John ends up, he says, brethren, flee idolatry. Keep yourselves from idols, he says. Now, look with me in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. Starting in verse 4, here we have King Hezekiah, godly man, a man who took God and his word seriously, a man who trembled before God's word. Chapter 18 of 2 Kings, starting in verse 4, he removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the idols and broken, he had an idol smashing time. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Well, what's wrong with that bronze serpent? That should have been a wonderful memorial of God's wonderful dealing with his people in the times of Moses. But that bronze replica of a snake had become an idol, and people had started to worship it. So Hezekiah destroyed it. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him. Verse 6, for he clung to the Lord and departed not from following him. He stuck close to God. He followed hard after God. He stayed right there. He was attached to his God and he was detached from idolatry. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Let's see what the psalmist cries out. Remember in Psalm 119, he said, I have stuck to thy testimonies. The Bible and I are glued together. Well, what about the believer and his God? Psalm 63, verse 8. Let's look in verse 7 first. Because thou hast been my help, O Lord, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth close behind thee. There's our word. My soul follows closely. I'm sticking right behind you. This verse made me think of my days long, long ago when I used to run cross country in junior high school. And if you're running cross country, let's say you were ahead of the pack, which I usually wasn't. But if you were ahead of all the other runners, you're trying to get away from them. And it's so frustrating if there's someone running right closely behind you. You're trying to make a distance between you and him, but he's kind of, it's almost like he's stuck right behind you. You can't shake him. You can't seem to get away from him, ahead of him enough. And then you come near the finish line and right ahead of you and he wins. You just couldn't shake him. That's the idea here. My soul followeth close behind. I'm right behind you. And when it comes to my God and me, we're going to be together. I'm going to keep running and following and staying close no matter what. I'm not going to let any distance come between me and my God. I'm going to stick right there. Now, that's our Old Testament study. Let's do a very brief New Testament look, because I think there's something interesting that I'd like to point out. Matthew 19. Matthew 19. You remember the verse we started with in Genesis 2. That verse is quoted in the New Testament. So we have the same word being quoted. It was a Hebrew word, of course, in the Old Testament, but now we're in the Greek New Testament. It's a Greek word, but it's translating that same word we saw in Genesis 2. Matthew 19, verse 5, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." So now we have this same word, and since it's in our New Testament, it's a Greek word. And the question we should ask is this. As we're now in the New Testament, do we find verses which tell us as believers to cleave unto the Lord our God in the New Testament? The answer is no, we don't. Why don't we? Well, before I answer that, let's look at one place where it seems like that word is used. Acts chapter 11. The word cleave is used here, but it's not the same word, even though it's translated the same way. Acts chapter 11. And let's begin in verse 21. It's talking about the great city of Antioch, which became one of the key centers of Christianity in the early years. It was a powerhouse. The New Testament church in Antioch was one of the strongest New Testament churches. Verse 21, here's the beginning of that assembly. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Here we have the beginning of this marvelous work of God in this city as people turned to the Lord and believed on Christ as their Savior. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. News of what had happened in Antioch had come all the way back to Jerusalem, which was, of course, the first local church. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go to Antioch to check this thing out. Look at verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he saw what God had done in his grace. He saw these many who had turned to the Lord and believed on Christ. What was his message to these new believers? What was his word of exhortation? He said, here, my friends, is what you need to learn. This is my word for you. That with purpose of heart, you would cleave, you would cling to the Lord. Isn't that a good message for new believers? That with all your heart, you would cling to the Lord your God. You've believed on Christ, now continue with him. Now that is not the same word as we saw in Matthew 19. It's actually a word which comes from the word to abide, to remain, to continue. It means to continue with, to remain true. He was saying that you would cling to God, that you would continue in your faith, that you would remain true to him, that you would stay loyal to God and hang in there with God. Wonderful word of exhortation to new believers and to old believers too. We need to all do that. to continue on. But this other word that we saw in Matthew 19, never does God tell anyone in the New Testament to cleave to the Lord. In Deuteronomy, we found that repeated again and again, to love the Lord, to fear Him, to cleave to Him, to cling to Him, to be attached to Him. Why doesn't God tell believers in the New Testament to be attached to Him? Ephesians chapter 5 gives us a clue. Ephesians chapter 5. And by the way, our word is found in verse 31. Shall leave father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. There's that word. Now, look at verse 30. For we who belong to Christ, we who are His bride, His wife, as it were, we who are members of His body, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Do you see why God doesn't have to tell New Testament believers to be attached to Him? How can you get any closer to that? Think about your skin. Does your skin cling to your body? What about your bone? Do your bones cling to your body? Do they stay pretty close with your body? Are they attached pretty well? Think of any member of your body. They're all attached pretty well. Now, George and I thought our heads would be detached for a little, but they were attached pretty well. They got banged, but they hung in there. God doesn't have to say cleave to the Lord, to be attached to Him, to cling to Him. We are attached. That is our position in Jesus Christ. We have been united to Christ. We have been joined to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17, you don't have to turn there. It says, we have been joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17. How can we get any closer than that? We are united to Jesus Christ. Now, how does that work out practically? I, as a believer, need to reckon on that fact. I need to claim that fact by faith. I need to realize that I am united with Christ. I am a part of His body. I am as close as anyone can get to the Savior. And I need to believe that is true and act upon it and live that way. I need to live according to that glorious position that I have. Because the New Testament principle of living the Christian life is always that my practice is to line up with my position. Do we need to cleave to the Lord? Absolutely, we do. Because that is true of us in Christ Jesus. We're attached to Him, and since I am attached to Him, I better be attached to Him in my daily, moment-by-moment walk. I am stuck, I am united, I am joined to Him. I need to be just what I am. I need to be that. I need to believe it and be it. And see myself that way and then walk accordingly. We need to exercise faith and see ourselves joined to a wonderful Savior, to cleave to the Lord our God.